things certainly seem to be getting a little exciting again.
Yes, they do. They certainly do. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, it is noon my time, 1 o'clock on the East Coast, 10 o'clock on the West Coast. And today is Saturday, January 26th, my goodness, 2019. Welcome to our Contract Trust conference call. We are not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We're not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. Well, good morning, everybody, or afternoon, as the case may be. Thank you for joining us. And Judy and Jim will be joining us today, as usual. So, Judy, are you ready to get started?
I am, Carol. So, it really appears that we're awfully close to this RV from everything that we're all hearing. Do you have any suggestions, any more suggestions on how we can be more prepared for when we get the exchange number?
That is a great question, Judy. I know it's a lot of people's minds. People are reading things off the internet and listening to calls, et cetera, et cetera. But I think your question, I think prepared is the definitive word here. The more prepared we are in our exchange, the more likely we are to have a pleasant and profitable experience. I have read that at the very minimum, we will need to present 2 pieces of valid photo ID, not last year's driver's license. Our last year's passport's got to be valid and current. A short biography, a couple of recent utility bills showing your home address, and something that shows your trust address if different. Your abstract of trust and EIN letter, as well as banking information if you have an open account for your trust. You should also have a tally sheet of the currency you have. I personally don't think that you will need to show your trust, but you might want to have it in a briefcase just in case. But above all, be courteous and be professional. I've also heard that you should have receipts for your currencies as well as any gift letters for currency given to you. Again, I don't think you will need these at your exchange. I don't think anybody's going to have the time to look through reams and reams of paper receipts at that time. Maybe in a later session or maybe with your maybe at tax time. But if you're looking for higher rates, and I think most of us are, be prepared to give a short description of any humanitarian projects you are considering funding or any things you want to do on your own. If you want to go build an office building, you know, have a description of it. You know, a bullet list or short executive summary should be sufficient. And, again, no one's going to have the time to read through a lengthy business plan. And there are a number of perks and benefits you can ask for. I think I've seen a list of up to 40 things, and we will have a list on our website. I have mentioned before that you need to ask for a waiver of fees. We do have that available as well, the template for that. And be prepared, you may not have this in place yet, but be prepared to consider it. Be prepared to name a trust management company like Abbott Downing to assist you in managing these funds. Abbott Downing is currently associated with Wells Fargo and HSBC. Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, well, I have my trust from you. Can I just manage this on my own? Folks, for most of us, particularly most of us on these calls, the amount of money that we hope to receive is more than any of us have ever thought about in our lives. And it's not going to be a matter of just sitting down and, okay, I'm going to write this check and write that. You are going to need some professional guidance to do these things and to help you wade through this process because it's going to be quite lengthy. I have heard that HSBC and Wells, at least, will be represented at the redemption facilities. You know, and some people have said to me, well, I don't want to have anything to do with the bank. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have to. Once you get involved with a trust manager company, most of these have their own facilities where you can park your money with them. So this is something to consider. Unfortunately, it's nothing we can, other than some research, it's nothing we can do ahead of time because you can't go into these people when you don't have 38 cents because they'll know you don't have 38 cents.
Exactly.
So once we have some money, you'll be able to make some of those decisions. You can start off with Abbott Downing because it's easy and it's available. But as you get further into the process and more comfortable, you can start interviewing other trust management companies if you haven't already researched them on the Internet.
That's a great idea, Carol. I didn't realize that, but Downing was now connected with HSBC. That's outstanding news.
Yeah, they've been available for quite some time, I believe.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So, Carol, you mentioned trust, and I've heard, like all of us, have heard a lot about trust lately, and that if we ever expect to have, we must have a trust. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, having a trust in hand does show that you're prepared. If you do not have a trust, the bank may offer you a so-called skeleton trust until you can get your own trust. Well, this may sound like a good idea and easy at the outset, especially if you don't have any money. It's not a good idea. The downside of a skeleton trust is that the bank becomes your partner and is probably the initial trustee. It is not what you want. We've heard some rumors lately that there is only one trust that will be acceptable at your exchange. We have recently become aware of someone in Dinar Land making claims that the only trust that you'll be able to use for your exchange is a grantor revocable trust. Actually, his grantor revocable trust. And in the past, we have made many comparisons between revocable and irrevocable trusts. The revocable trust that this writer uses offers absolutely no asset protection or anonymity for you. This trust states that you still own the asset in your own name. In a typical statutory revocable grantor trust, the grantor yourself can change your mind. About what you have granted or given someone right up to your last breath. And the IRS has a clawback clause. In a financial or business setting, clawback may refer to a provision in a contract that allows money or benefits to be taken back if special circumstances arise. So the IRS may, in its infinite wisdom, whatever that is, an oxymoron, decide that because you still had total control, the assets of the revocable trust may be part of your estate when you die. That means it goes to probate and it goes to inheritance tax. If you do decide for whatever reason to use a revocable trust for your exchange, be sure to get those assets into an irrevocable trust ASAP, preferably, of course, one of ours. He states that his trust is the only one that has been validated for use at the time of exchange. And we take exception to that remark. If someone could show us where and how to have our trust validated, we would happily do so. To those of you who are not aware, our trust has been validated by an IRS expert witness as a valid legal entity in a case before the Ninth Circuit in 1983. And the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the decision of the Ninth Circuit in which the trust was validated. This writer also states that the NSA and Homeland insist on total transparency and that there's no hiding behind entities. And we totally concur. And the privacy provided by our trust is privacy from the public, not necessarily from the bankers that you're dealing with. Our trust offers privacy, asset protection, and flexibility for generations. We have no issue with exposing the original investor or exchanger with the banks and other business personnel. If you're more comfortable with providing more information to the bank than just your abstract of trust, you can provide the first page in the minute that appoints you as executive trustee.
Okay, Carol, having heard that, which is awesome information, could you please explain to all of us more about your trust?
Sure, Judy. We offer a non-grantor, irrevocable, common law contract trust. For the sake of simplicity, we refer to it just as a contract trust. Irrevocable, and this irrevocable is very important. Irrevocable means no one can tell you to terminate the trust to pay someone else. With an irrevocable contract trust, you give up all right, title, and interest to the asset irrevocably, so it will never become part of your estate, thus no probate and no inheritance taxes. And you're wondering, okay, if I give all right, title, and interest, where does that leave me? So one of the most unique and, I feel, compelling differences with our trust is that you get to be your own trustee. That boils down to a very important advantage. There is no one between you and your money, no manager, protector, anyone else telling you what you can and cannot do. As trustee, you can do just about anything you want, long as it's legal. So although you don't own any of that money, you still have complete control of it. And the trustees may do or may not do absolutely anything an ordinary adult person could do. The contract trust is totally private and is not required to be registered or filed in any state except Nevada currently, unless one is actively involved in a business, thus guaranteeing your privacy and anonymity. The contract trust is an irrevocable common law contract trust, which is actually a contract and trust format. That's kind of wordy. Sorry about that. We are guaranteed the right to contract by the U.S. Constitution.
So, Carol, how do I set up a contract trust?
Well, the first thing you need to do is choose a name. And anything that sounds good to you is okay. And, you know, try for a strong-sounding name. Do not use your surname or sequential numbering. In other words, you know, my trust number one, my trust number two. That would indicate there's more than one. You know, I often suggest the name of a favorite pet, something reflective of hobby, etc. And my husband suggests getting out a map and pointing your finger, and wherever that lands, it might be a good name for a trust. Do not name your trust the same as an existing business. So the thing is, you're trying, again, for privacy. So you don't want to name it anything that people are already familiar with in regards to yourself.
Great, Carol. I used my favorite flowers, or that's how I named mine. Do I need to register the trust in my state?
Now, the trust does not need to be registered unless it's operating a business. Nevada is the exception to that. For instance, my business, Indicator Information Institute, is a trust, and it is registered in the state of Washington. The trusts that I have for this exchange are not registered because they're not actively engaged in business.
Oh, very interesting. Great. I live in a state that imposes a state income tax. Can I avoid this?
Yes, we suggest establishing an address in Washington or Wyoming or any of the other five states that do not impose a state income tax.
Okay. Should I have an address other than my home for the trust?
Well, it's not imperative. Like if you live in Washington, Wyoming, Texas, Florida, any of those states that do not impose an income tax, you could use your home address. But then again, you're losing some of your privacy and anonymity.
There you go, of course.
Going down to a mailbox rental place and just renting a box for the name of the trust. And we do suggest you send the trust a piece of registered mail to further verify the address of the trust. Put a letter in an envelope explaining the reason you sent the certified mail and leave it sealed. If you're ever challenged, hand the unopened letter to the judge to open it.
Okay, great information. So, Carol, do I need an EIN number?
Yes, and we will obtain it from you for you. That is the reason you need to get your address first, because you're going to use the address, whether it be in any of those tax-free states or in your own state where you live. We need that address to get your EIN.
Okay. And how long does this process take?
Right now we're looking at about a four-day turnaround. And post-RV, you can expect it to be much, much longer. And I know we're going through this kind of quickly, but we have a lot of stuff to cover. But I would like to open it up for Q&A for right now, if anybody has anything on their mind they'd like to talk about. And while you're in star six to raise your hand. And while you're thinking about it, let's talk to Jim for a little bit. What's going on, Jim?
Hello. Well, you've done a good job so far. I want to add a little bit to that.
Thank you.
One of the unique things about our company is we have a really, really, really nice website, if I do say so myself. So I built it. And it's used for self-education. I mean, this is the whole idea of the system, is to get people educated, get prepared. You know, using information on our website, you can educate yourself at your pace in what we call cracks of time. You should spend some quality time learning about your asset protection, asset accumulation. We encourage you to involve your children, too. Now, with knowledge, you can control your future instead of being a victim of the future. Knowledge is power. The information on our website is empowerment. It will affect many aspects of your life and the future. Remember, the only thing you own is time. You only own your time. You barter your time for a paycheck, but the only thing you own is your time. It's the only thing a human right now in this society can take in control. You have a choice of what you do with your time. So I coined the term cracks of time in 1978, and I taught classes on how to use remember the old day timer, the paper day timers? We use a system called cracks of time to teach people how to be more effective. You know, I even have a website called cracks of time, which I'm rebuilding right now in cracks of time. So exchanging your time for dollars is the only thing you can do. So with knowledge, you can increase the value of your time. I just want to get that out this morning. So let's talk to some people about what they have. Carol?
I'm sorry, Jim?
Let's talk to some people. Is open to Q&A?
Oh, yeah. Well, it is open for Q&A. There aren't any questions yet right now. That's all.
Okay. Well, you want me to talk about the server? I'm pretty excited about that.
I think everybody would like to hear the good information you have about a server.
Okay. Well, as everybody knows, a website's always placed on a server, and you pay somebody to manage that part of your business. And sometimes you're unlucky, like we've been recently, and find a company that just does not do what they said they were going to do. So we're going to move our server, our website, to our own server. I've been wanting to do this for many, many years, and decided to just go ahead and do it. And the gentleman that I'm working with is Jeff Cage, and we've been friends since 1991, and we did some business years ago. And he has a server farm in Boardman, Oregon. It's on the same trunk as the $100 million data center that Amazon uses. Now, we should have this all up and done by, probably the last of February. But my relationship with this guy has been since 91, as I said, and he's got his own server farm there, and he's going to allow us to go ahead and put our own computer as a server in there. So it should be done here, but I don't know, like I said, last of February. And
wow.
And so what we'll have is complete control. We'll have extremely fast internet connection. It's backed up with diesel generators, so if there's a power shut down, just like Amazon does, we'll have a generator kicks in automatic. It should be actually no downtime whatsoever. We have a battery pack for the initial shutdown, and then it kicks in the generator. And then eventually we'll move the server from that server farm to a new server farm in Salem, Oregon, where I live right now, and we'll be on a 100 megabits line. We're on a 50 megabits line right now. We'll be on a 100 megabits line. That's a new farm being built right here in Salem, Oregon. So we're going to have control of everything about our website, and that is exciting. So we'll move all of our websites. We have, between Carol and I, we've got 7. So we'll move all of that, and we're pretty jazzed about that.
You know, Jim, people keep inquiring about the password. Does the password have to be so long? Can I just use just an easy password to remember? You want to address that, please?
Sure. The website we have right now is Generation 3. Because Generation 1, somebody cracked the password, got in, and just ravaged the website. So Generation 2, they were able to do it again. So I've built this website 3 times, and so therefore we have some fairly strong encryption. We have people, for some reason in this world, that just take pride in crashing in business computers and then bragging about it to their friends at no advantage to them other than a bragging right. We're constantly being attacked. This week we had 27 attacks, all unsuccessful. So I get an email every time that somebody's banging on the door, so to speak. And so we've been using some pretty strong passwords. And if we find out that you're using a real weak one, well, you're going to be bounced out of the system until you get a strong password. Now, I've had to do that 3 times now. I've had to cancel the accounts, get older people, say, look, you can't do that. You can't have password 1234. It doesn't work. What happens is when the system suspects a weak password, I get an email. And then I have to contact these people. The first thing I do is I go in and I cancel their account. So I don't want to take a chance. And then I school them. Okay, you've got to use a strong password. Therefore, we use what we call RoboForm. And if you go to the website, the tab at the top, even before you log in, it says Tools. We discuss in that MailWasher Pro and RoboForm. RoboForm is a free tool. You can get up to 10 passcodes, I guess they call it, for free. And it's just a little program you put on your computer. I've been using it for, I think, in my 9th year right now, and I have about 300 passcodes. In other words, I have 300 logins that I have to remember, and I can't do that. So I use this form or this tool. You can get it for free. And if you want to buy it, it's only $20 a year. So use something like that to keep track of all your passwords, your passcodes, and your logins. So we encourage that. But that's why we have to have very, very strong passwords.
And the amount of information that Jim has put on this website is there to help us, there to help in writing minutes and making, sometimes in even making decisions. This is the way I want to go. Maybe this is the way I want to go. he's got minutes and resolutions and how to do's and this is that and the other. So as he said, it's very, very good for self-education. All the tools are there. It's not like we're suggesting it was like was suggested to me 30 years ago. Well, we'll just go to the library and look it up. Well, not many of us have the inclination to go to a law library and read a law book, because most of us don't understand law books anyway. Jim has done as much as he can to make this as easy as possible for all of us, and I'm very, very thankful for all your work, Jim.
Well, thank you. This next system will be Generation 4 that I'm getting ready to set up. It'll be basically the same website, but I'm bringing in some more talent to finish it up. I don't have time to do that, and we're going to talk about time in a few minutes. I don't have time to do that, run my other business that I am still involved with to a degree, and do everything I'm trying to do for Indicator, and still have a private life. I mean, it's just almost impossible to do everything I need to do. So the next generation of this website will be broken down by categories, and it's going to be set up where, you know, okay, this category here is education, and it'll be subcategory. It'll be things about trust. It'll be things about, you know, how to make money. It'll be different things, how to use your trust to make money, so on and so forth. It's going to be a little bit better because you'll have a curriculum you can go in and invest your time into and read and learn. And this can affect all parts of your life. You realize that knowledge is power. And if you have knowledge, then you can change things in your life. And one of the unique things about knowledge you get with us, it's very valuable. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm still not seeing any hands raised. Anybody have anything they'd like to talk about? Any questions? Any suggestions? Anything on your mind at all? Just star 6 or raise your hand. Okay, there we have one. Good morning, Jean. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What can we do for you?
Okay, good. Well, it's probably redundant, but I probably need some more clarification. I already have a trust with you, and it was done beautifully. However, I don't have anybody else on there but myself and my children, as if I should pass, that's where everything will go to. But when we exchange, should we put all of this exchanged money into that one account, into that one trust that I have with you called the Mother Lode? I also have an LLC that I took out a couple of years ago with Wyoming, because we thought this would go 2-3 years ago. So I'm kind of confused whether to stick all my eggs in one basket, or I know at some point I also have to get more trust done for the different places and things I want to do with it, like, you know, all humanitarian projects and so forth. So if I'm making sense to you, if you could help me out with that.
You're making great sense, and it's a question a lot of people have on their mind. A lot of us have things we need to address immediately. Like, you need some cash, right? You got to pay off your car. You want to pay off your house. You got to do this. You got to do that. We've talked about a scenario before, and I have to tell you guys again, you know, I'm not a CPA. Jim's not a CPA, nor is Judy. This is something we came up with that makes sense to us, which is it's a likely scenario. Would you agree, Jim, about getting money?
Yes, likely. I would, 100%.
Okay.
100%.
So you've got all this money. You've exchanged. You've shown them your trust. Okay, Mr. Banker, I now have X million dollars in front of me. Mm-hmm. I need some money. I need cashier's checks for these. I need wires for these things that I have taken care of. This is an emergency. You know, my house is in foreclosure. I need this much like tomorrow. My dad's in the hospital. I need to pay for his open heart surgery. Whatever, those immediate emergencies. But also, you need some cash. You need to walk in, as my former partner Jim Jenkins used to say, you need walking around money. So, okay, Mr. Banker, I'd like to create an account, a personal account in your bank for a mutually long-term beneficial relationship, and I'd like you to fund it with $100,000. And I would like debit cards and credit cards attached to that account. And, you know, I've gone through this a little more lengthily before, but you get the idea. So but once you have the majority of the money in this mother load trust, you're going to go back next week or next month or whatever and say, okay, I want to move some money into this trust. I want to buy a house. I want to move some money into this trust. I want to start a business. I want to move some money here. All these other entities, including your LLC, can be funded at a later date. They don't need to be funded at your initial exchange. Initial exchange is get the money and get out. From what I understand from listening to various calls, you will have probably two or three follow-up appointments, depending on where you live. If you live in a big city where your exchange area is local, you'll probably be going back to that bank in the next day or two. If you live in a more rural area like I do, the banker may come. Hopefully, the banker is going to come to me because I don't want to drive another 4 hours to go have these subsequent meetings. But if all those things, you want to keep them all separate. You want to have separate accounts for, as I said, for houses, for cars, for charitable, for whatever business you want to do, but that doesn't have to come at the day of your exchange. So, does that help, Jean?
Yes, it did. Then it brought me to another question, whether or not we should accept some of their, what they call their skeleton trust. Is that something that we have to get involved in? To kind of keep, you know, some monies available to us, or should we just disregard that?
I would disregard it. From what I understand, and I've been hearing about skeleton trust, I guess, for about 2 years now.
Mm.
If you do not have a trust, if you are unprepared, the bank is going to offer you a skeleton trust. But it is a grantor, it's a grantor revocable trust, like we just talked about, but they are more than likely going to be the trustee. They are going to be your partner. You probably don't want that.
Right, exactly.
You want to be in control of your own destiny. From what
Absolutely.
I understand with skeleton trust, it's only going to be available if you don't have your own trust, and they're only good for about 90 days, during which time they figure you can get out, you know, get your own things put in order. I would not recommend it for anybody.
Okay, that was one clear answer I needed. And the NDA, is there any scuttlebutt along with the NDA?
NDA, I've heard, is going to be short, and basically you just can't talk about it. I think it's only got a 90-day limit on it anyway.
Yeah, and I would want to talk about it with this much money.
Exactly. I mean, you're not going to go around telling everybody. And some people may figure, oh, well, Jean got a new car. Good for her. I wonder what happened, you know. But, you know, you're not going to start remodeling your $300,000 home to make it a $1 million home in a $300,000 neighborhood. You know, we just have to be very prudent about how we spend our money, how we protect ourselves, how we maintain our privacy and anonymity. And that's for everything. You know, you just don't want to, you know, you don't want to buy a $20,000 diamond ring and start flashing it when you go to the grocery store. You know, we just need to be, prudent in what we do.
Now, getting the cash immediately, I understand the cashier's checks and the wires, but the accounts that we currently hold, and if we wanted some monies in there, are we still, like, discontinuing this group of checking account numbers and reopening and keep reopening and keep reopening to leave?
For doing that, we can talk about that in a second. For that,
okay.
That's basically with, you know, you have all this bulk of money and what you're going to do with it. As far as getting cash, for instance, personally, my husband and I have several different personal checking accounts. I'm going to request that the exchange center put some dollars in this one, some dollars in this one, and some dollars in that one. I want to be covered with cash in any of those banks. You know, not $500,000 or anything like that, but a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have cash at our disposal. We all have debit cards with our bank accounts anyway. If you've got $100,000 in there, you have literally $100,000 debit card line.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those things are going to be easy to achieve. As far as multiple accounts, several years ago now, I got an email excuse me, from this gal named Deb Cargill Girl. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with her.
Oh, I know her. Yeah, Deb Cargill Girl. Yeah.
And she put something out about opening multiple accounts, and I emailed her, and I asked her, did she write this? And she said, no, I didn't write it. It was written by a, I think she said, retired treasury agent. So I pretty much figured, well, that person probably knows what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we want to make sure is when we open these bank accounts, they should be non-interest-bearing. If it's an interest-bearing account, the bank considers it theirs and they can play with it. So we don't want that. So when you do go and you have exchange, let's say your dinar, at the time that this was written, people only had dinar and dong.
Mm.
Open up a separate account for each currency, account 1A for IQD mm-hmm. and account 1B for VND. The reason for separate accounts for different currencies is to differentiate, if necessary, for tax purposes. Purposes.
That was my LLCs. That's why I opened three of them and I kept them open because I still don't know what to do with it.
Well, yeah, there'll always be something to do with LLCs, even if you put it in put a car in one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it may be necessary to differentiate these between, just because it might be a taxable event in mm-hmm. one currency or another. You know, I think we've all heard that the revaluation of a tradable currency is not in itself a taxable event.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure it out. You know, nobody's ever baked this cake before.
Mm-hmm.
Once account number one is open, deposit your currency in the account and exchange into a new treasury account, which we all know now that we should have our USTN instead of the fiat US dollar. I believe we now have gold-backed money. So we mm-hmm. need to open the first account for IQD, and then you're going to flip it over into another account. And the reason to do that, and you're going to have the bank sweep everything from account number one to account number two. The reason to doing that is the bank is required to report the opening of account number one to the federal government, and that information can find its way into the public domain. However, the bank is not required to report intrabank transfers between accounts. What this does is effectively eliminate your digital trail so nobody outside of the bank knows how much money you have on deposit, and more importantly, whether or not you are a good target for a lawsuit. You will do this for all of your currencies. So, you know, you may be there for a while just opening multiple accounts,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to protect you, and that's the whole idea. You want to be protected. And, you know, I've got a couple pages on this. I believe I've sent this out to several people already. If anybody wants a little more information on this, just drop me an email. I'll be happy to send it to you. A couple of things we want to remember. We want non-interest-bearing accounts. We need to get clean and clear certificates on the first visit. You mm-hmm. cannot do it on subsequent visits. I would suggest you get no less than 20, even if you have to pay for them. So what?
Mm-hmm.
They will probably offer you three copies, but charge for additional ones. Like I said, so what?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be a big deal, right? But
I'll even buy yours.
Yeah. Those two things are really important to remember, non-interest-bearing and clean and clear copies. And, Jim, wasn't there one more thing that we have to remember at the initial exchange?
I can't remember.
Okay. Non-interest-bearing. Okay. Well, we'll figure it out. You know, if I think of it, I'll mention.
So let me clarify, and I understand that everything, for the most part, goes into the mother load trust that
yes.
I already have, and then all of these new accounts, I can throw some of the money into the three accounts for tax purposes down the line. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then
mm-hmm.
have some money to play with. Got it.
Yep.
There was one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, there is one more thing. When you get to the bank and you're doing this, you want to tell the banker that you want this, all these accounts, or at least the primary account, to be private. In other words, you don't want any bank tellers being able to see that primary account, that motherlode account. So it doesn't come up on any screens anywhere, and it does not come up on your computer at home. In my opinion, anytime you move money from the motherlode trust to a subsequent trust, you want to physically go in there and meet with your wealth manager, have him or her do it right there in front of you. That way there's nothing out there for the public to see inadvertently or advertently.
Okay.
Yeah. That was it.
Yep.
Thanks, Jim.
I have my moments.
Perfect.
That was a good one, Jim.
Okay. Now, have you heard anything about us taking a bodyguard with us?
Not specifically. I have heard if you are planning on bringing anyone with you, whether it's an advisor, an attorney, even your spouse, you need to make them aware of that when you make your appointment. Mm-hmm. And that person needs to have all the valid ID, et cetera, as well.
Okay. And if
I'm sure there will be no firearms allowed.
No. And I am assuming that if my husband is not involved, I don't have to worry about it because I've done all the transactions myself.
Yeah, I'm sure you could go to the exchange by yourself.
Yeah, okay. Or with help someone else. Okay. I appreciate it very much, and I will read the website. I have access to it. And how do I unmute myself or hang up?
All right. Thank you so much, Jean.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see. We have another caller, area code 602. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Carol and Jim. Just a question to tag on to what you were just talking about. When we first open the Motherlode account and then sweep that to a new account, we can do that at the exchange, or do we have to do that later?
I believe we should be able to do it at our exchange. You agree, Jim?
I do. I think that you can push them to do that. There's no sense in waiting. That means you have, if you wait to the second meeting, then you're going to have that exposure. You don't want that.
Okay. And then when we open up additional trust accounts later, we don't have to go through the same exercise because it's coming through the account that's already been swept, correct?
No, I would do it for each one. If you're going to open a new account, so you've got your Motherlode account, so if you're going to do a subsequent trust, the B trust, or lack of a better name, you need to do the same thing with the B trust. Open it
the
normal way and then sweep it into a second one.
Okay, very good. And then one last question, Jim. You mentioned before that we should send a letter, and I can't remember if you said certified or registered and return receipt to our trust location, basically stating something like this trust is domiciled in, Washington, something like that, and then keep that letter. Is that what we're supposed to do and do not open it?
Exactly. So you send a letter, and in the letter you're simply going to state that this letter is to inform anybody, like the judge or whomever is going to be involved in this, that this trust is established, the domicile established in this location intentionally. In other words, the letter is going to let them know that you did this for a reason. And then you send that certified green card receipt, return receipt request with a green card. You keep the green card, then you have the letter sent to you. You don't open the letter. You just put it in the file. And if you ever get challenged, you take the unopened letter and give it to the challenger and say, open this, it'll explain everything. That's all you have to do.
Okay, just this letter is to inform anyone that this trust has been established in such and such a place, and basically that's it?
Yeah, and I would in fact, I'm sending three of them to my own self at my mail drop in Washington on three different days. But I'm establishing it right away, saying, okay, because you'll have a postal date close to the time as you open the box and set up the trust. So when you get that green card, it'll have a date that it was, stamped by the United States Post Office, and that'll help establish how long that's been set up.
I understand. Okay, that's my only questions right now, then. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Gary. Actually, that brings up something. A lot of you have recently changed the domicile from the Cheyenne, Wyoming address to a different address, whether it be another one in Wyoming or one in Washington. When you change the address, you also have to complete IRS Form 8822B, which we do have a link for, send it to the IRS so that they know that you changed the address. It's doubtful that you will ever get a letter, a new EIN letter or anything like that, but you do need to inform them of the change of address. And I would suggest writing it a minute in your trust, because you're going to write a minute in the trust saying the domicile of the trust has changed from Cheyenne, Wyoming to Vancouver, Washington. An appropriate form 8822B has been completed and forwarded to the IRS. I would definitely do that. And Gary, Gary, like, take care of that for you.
I'd like
thank
to
you,
add
Carol.
That when you send it to the IRS, also send a registered mail, because as soon as you do that, then effectively your address is changed, because it's nothing more than a administrative change. It has nothing to do with the actual trust. It's an administrative change, and therefore it should be effective the moment you postmark it. And then so you send a registered mail, you get the green card of the 8822B, make a copy before you send it, and staple them together and put them in your binder with your trust, the trust binder, and keep them forever.
I did make the 8822B change, and I kept the copy for myself, but I did not send it registered. I didn't think of doing it that way.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it, but at this point.
For those of you who are going to be doing it in the future, do it that way.
Yeah, I recommend it. You know, the post office is your friend in this case, because that little green card of that registered mail is a receipt that all the government agencies have to accept.
Okay.
There you go. Okay. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
How about let me make a comment real quick.
Sure.
Going back to the bodyguard, that was an interesting idea, and I appreciate that, Gene. Thank you.
Jim, something's happening with your phone. We're missing every other word.
All right. Let me change phone. Hold on.
Not working.
Is that better?
No. Give another attempt you can pick up.
I can hear him fine, just for your information.
And it's just my phone then. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Okay, well, Gene mentioned bodyguard. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm disabled. I broke my neck, and I get around with a stick. You know, I have a tough time. And I'm going to have a bodyguard with me probably all the time after this RV, because I'm a prime candidate for kidnapping, because I can't move very fast. So what I'm going to do is when I get ready to go RV, I'm going to have a bodyguard, armed bodyguard, with me up to the door. And then they'll take me on in from there. And when I get ready to leave, I'm going to call my bodyguard on my cell phone and say, okay, meet me at the door. He's going to meet me or she's going to meet me at the door, take me to the vehicle, and take me wherever I want to go. That's something you might want to consider.
That's a really good idea. Well, I think we all are going to need some kind of security. Even if it's totally discreet, you know, somebody follows you there in a car, you don't even know they're there, but you do know they're there. Judy?
Yeah, I agree. I've got a similar situation to Jim. I'm awaiting a hip replacement, so I'm bone on bone, and it's some days, I mean, I just can't even walk. So I'm going to need somebody. I'm going to take somebody just exactly for the reason Jim is, and I'm just contacting my local police department, met a policeman, and he's going to do it for me. I'll give him a gift if you hear my drift.
Yeah.
Well, at least I'll feel secure. I don't want to fall, and you know, I'm so nervous about falling anyway. So for me, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I've hit the floor twice in 10 days. So yes, I know.
I hear
you. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about security since we are on this. Some of us, we're going to have security for most of our lives. I mean, once this is over with, if it comes into the numbers that we're hearing, I'm going to have security around me all the time. I am, like I said a moment ago, I am a candidate for a kidnapping. And at my age, I just can't defend myself. So I'm going to have security around me. Some people will have to have security around them at all the time from now on. Just keep that in mind. Not everybody, just some people.
Right.
And, you know, right now I live alone and in an apartment. And, you know, nobody knows what I do. They know I live here. They know I work out of my house. They don't know what I do. None of my neighbors know what I do. I don't tell anybody what I do.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, next subject.
Yeah, we've got a couple more callers. Okay, area code 810.
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you.
Oh, good, good. I have a question concerning the last person to call. They were explaining something about a green card. Would you explain to me what that green card is in relationship with address change?
I'll take that one, Carol.
Sure.
Registered mail. When you send something registered mail with a receipt, you send it registered mail, receipt requested. When you do that, you got to put this at the post office, they have this light green card that you fill out your name and address on one side and their name and address on one side. So the facing address will be theirs, and it just sticks right on the envelope. And when they...
Oh, I've seen it.
You've seen those, right.
Yes.
So when they get it the other end, they rip it off, the post office stamps it when it's delivered and sends the green card, because you've already addressed it back to you, you've got that green card. Plus you've got the receipt from when you went to the post office to begin with. Combine those two, and you've got irrefutable evidence that it made it to the other end.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, we've got another wireless caller. It's the area code 941.
Carol, this wasn't a question. This was a suggestion on security for people. A lot of you live near Homewood Suites or Comfort Inn or whatever, and to call Uber and have Uber drive you to your location that you're exchanging and then have them wait and take you back, and that, you know, if anybody's following you, they're following Uber, and you go inside the hotel and around the other door and go out, and they don't know.
That's a good idea.
I've heard that. I've also heard some friends of mine were planning on renting a car, going to a local hotel, renting the car, going to the exchange, going back to the hotel, and renting a different car to leave.
Exactly.
Yeah, so same kind of thing. That's a really
good
idea.
Cover your trail, cover your butt. You know, it
ASS
out of us. So we're using God's wisdom in what we're doing.
Yeah. Thank you, Connie. It's a good idea.
Yeah, Connie, thank you. That was excellent. I hadn't thought about using a hotel that way.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
Good call. Yeah, thank you. Now, anybody else have any other questions? Well, Jim, you want to fill in here for a minute?
Sure. Let's talk about the history of the trust costs. Carol and I talked about this yesterday, and I went and met some people last night had an appointment scheduled about 10 days ago to talk about trust. Now, back in 1990, 91, 92, 93, I had met a guy by the name of Bruce Ripley, and unbeknownst to me at the time, Bruce and Carol knew each other, but I didn't know that. I met him here locally in Salem, and of course, Carol at that time lived up in Seattle, and we were competitors, and we met, and a friendship was formed, and we worked together. And he used to do these seminars. And I remember the one we had right downtown here, and when I first started working with him, and he'd tell everybody, you know, bring a $10,000 certified check.
Yep.
And we're going to go to the seminar. So we go to the seminar. They sit there, and for the first half of the day, he talked all about the advantages and the value of the trust. And then he took everybody to a nice, expensive lunch. And he says, okay, for those of you that are not going to purchase a trust, take all your stuff with you. Don't bother leaving anything here because you're not coming back. Those of you that want to purchase a trust, leave your stuff here and leave the certified check next to your work that you are, your notes. And we'll have somebody pick it up while we're at lunch. And then those that bought the trust can come back and we'll finish their training. And then it went on the rest of the day and then all the next day. So that's what we used to get, $10,000. Now, I was also involved in international business companies. And so what I did is I had a package where I sold the trust, same exact trust, for $4,500. I added $2,500 from an international business company and $1,500 for an international trust. They were based in the Bahamas, and the package cost was $8,500. But I didn't do the weekend seminar. I did training usually by mail. I had books. And I don't do the IBCs, the IBT, you know, the business companies, nor the trusts anymore. We just do this. But when I'm not selling to a denarian, I still get $4,500 for these trusts. Now, Carol dropped the price down from $4,500. She was selling the same price down to $1,500 because of the denarians. We started this when I told Carol about this. I think it was 2000. Was it 2011, 2012? I remember.
Oh, 2000. But denars? But 2009. Yeah.
That's right, 2009. And we dropped the price, or you dropped the price, and I wasn't working.
Actually, Jim Jenkins dropped the price, but that's okay.
Yeah, okay. Somebody did.
Yeah.
And at that time, I didn't work much in this business from 2000 and, well, 2000 to about 2014, something like that, because I had broke my neck and I was in recovery and it was just didn't want to work. And then I come back in the field and we're charging $1,500. I want to impress upon people the value is still there. Now, we're not charging you $4,500, but the value is still there. I just want to bring that up because I've had a couple of people say, well, that seems like a lot of money. No, $1,500 really, really is not for what you're getting. And then we add the package of the website with all of the education, all the training. So, you know, you can self-educate yourself and get up to, you know, our standards, if you will, or our level of knowledge in just a few months, just reading and doing like we've done. Yeah. I just want to touch on that real quick about that.
Oh, I'm glad you did. A lot of you have been clients for a long, long time. I certainly remember Jim Jenkins and me saying that Jim was my mentor. Jim and Jim Jenkins and Bruce Ripley were partners back in the 80s. And Jim and Bruce specifically, were my mentors in this trust business a long, long time ago. Bruce has since passed, and as you know, most of you know, Jim is now retired. But the history that Jim Knox has in this and the history that I have comes back a long time. My husband and I were also selling trusts, international business companies and stuff like that. And again, the prices were considerably higher than we are, than they are right now. And when Jenkins and I were working together, we both realized that most denarians were currency rich and cash poor. And while our prices have gone up slightly over the years, and we have costs to cover as well, but they're still considerably less than what they used to be back in the old days. But as Jim said, the value is still there. The trust has not changed. And now, on top of everything else, you do get this access to this website as well. There's just so much more that we have to offer, but we have tried to keep our prices low to be more affordable to everybody. And you all know that post-RV, the price is going to go up. It's going to go up moderately for those of you that are current clients, but it will probably go up considerably for brand-new clients. Don't you agree, Jim?
No, absolutely.
There you go. You know, we just have to. We're going to be hiring a number of people in a totally new system to get as much business out as we can in as short a turnaround time as possible. So, you know, we're working our darnest just to make this accessible and affordable to everybody. And we do appreciate all your support for those of you who have been with us for such a long time. And for those of you who are still interested in, you know, pursuing a relationship with us. One of the things that Jim and I have both run into recently is a lot of you have questions. And we welcome your questions, no question about it. However, because we do have so much on our plates in terms of time and, you know, putting things together, it's sometimes very difficult to take all your questions and answer them on the phone. We like to talk as much as anybody else does, but sometimes when you're looking at things that you need to get done that day and you need to get out before, you know, the mail is picked up or whatever, time becomes crucial. I have found, and Jim has found as well, that we are both much more efficient when you send us your questions in email form. If it's something we can't answer by email, we'll be, you know, happy to call you back and discuss it with you personally. But a lot of things can be handled by email. And as I say, because time is such a premium to all of us right now, we would really appreciate it if you would pose your questions in an email format. It makes life a little easier for all of us, for yourself as well as for us. And it looks like we do have one more caller here.
Okay, before you take the caller, let me make one last comment about that. If you email us and we email you back, you now have something in writing that you'll always have about the answer to that question.
Right. And as do we.
Yes.
As do we.
And we add it to our FAQ that way.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, all right. One more caller here. Area code 919. I don't recognize that area code.
Okay, this is Jim in Raleigh.
Hi, Jim.
My question is this. On my abstract of my trust, the trustees are myself and my wife. I had not planned for my wife to go to the redemption meeting with me, but since her name is on the as a trustee, would it be necessary for her to go, or could she remain home?
why don't you send me an email? I'll create you a new abstract without her name on it. There is a clause in the abstract that says one trustee can act on for behalf of the other one, but I don't trust the banks, so okay. I'd like to make it as clean as possible. You know, in another instance, a friend of mine, her husband has got dementia, and she does not want him to go, so we're just going to take his name off the abstract. He's still a trustee, just going to take his name off the abstract, so I'll be happy to do that for you as well.
Okay, all right, I will send you an email. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, on that note for him, keep the original email. I mean, the original abstract,
yes.
Because a few times you want to use the one for you and your wife, but at the redemption time, you just use the one with just you on there. So
yeah.
You can use both. Keep both.
Yeah. Well, Jim, you did the abstract for me, so but you want me to send it to Carol, or should I send
Wait,
it to
Jim,
you?
Go ahead. Send it to Jim. He'll fix it for you.
Yeah. You've got my email address. You've got my email address there.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, just send it to me, and I'll get it done right away and get it out to you. I'll put it in the post.
All right.
I'll send you a hard copy, and I'll also do the digital copy to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you. Okay. Good morning, Charles. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Hello, Carol.
How you doing?
Doing great. How you doing?
Oh, getting over this cold, but other than that, I'm terrific. What can we do for you today?
I just called in. Hello, Jim.
Hello, young man. I was wondering what happened to you. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Because
you okay?
I know you. Yeah, I'm doing excellent, man. I knew you all had picked up in business, and I had questions here and there, but a lot of times I just hadn't been on the call because, like, I'm working now. But I just called in to let you know that we appreciate you all and what you're doing for us. I have a brother on the call, Carol. He is considering purchasing a business trust. He's on the call for the first time today, and I just wanted you to know that we appreciate what you're doing for us. It's been certainly beneficial to me in preparation for the RV. And I just called in to say hi and just to welcome my brother in on the call.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Let me say this about some of these people. I mean, Charles and I have spoke many times on the phone, and we're creating friendships here. Well, I've never met Charles personally, but we've had so much fun on the phone, and we had so many good conversations because he's got quite a system he's developed through our using our trust. And these are long-term, lifetime relationships that we're building. This is exciting stuff. I mean, it's
absolutely.
When we get through the redemption, we'll give it 3 or 4 or 5 months after the RV and let everybody calm down. We'll probably be letting everybody know that we're going to have some big powwow someplace, and everybody can, we'll do the Davos thing. We'll all fly in our
private jet.
Oh, yay. I love that part, Jim. Sign me up. I'll help you organize it.
Yeah. The funny part about the Davos, here's the people all talking about how bad the climate change is, and there's 1,500 or 4,500, I don't know how many that was in the news. The private jets flew into Davos for this meeting. Like, okay, that doesn't make sense.
And what is your carbon footprint exactly?
Yeah, really. So we're waiting for somebody to come out with a version of Uber Jets.
There you go. Well, it's called NetJet.
There you go. We're looking forward to having a big powwow with everybody. We'll probably do it 2 or 3 times in different areas so people can come together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Judy is a longtime client, and she came to Seattle to visit a few years ago, and we've become bosom buddies ever since then. And as a lot of you know, I went to Florida for the holidays. I met with several of our clients, just had a great time. We all have so much in common I totally agree with Jim. Maybe we'll have a couple, big parties, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, who knows?
Yeah, well, I also want to have some type of big shindig in the islands. I want to go to Hawaii.
Good idea. Really good.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Well, charter is 747, pack it full of denarians, and away we go.
There you go.
Good idea.
Yeah. Okay, we've got another caller here. Good afternoon, Una. How are you doing today?
Hi, morning. Is that for me? Morning to you and everyone. Question here. One of my trusts, my husband is a trustee. and he passed. And I, as you were talking about, you know, the person with the situation, the one previous, not taking the person to the bank. I guess my trust need to be, some changes need to be made?
Oh, yeah. I thought we wrote a minute regarding your husband's passing, but I guess we didn't change the abstract.
No, we didn't.
just send me an email. I'll take care of it for you.
Okay. All right. Good. Thanks.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am. Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, he was very sick.
So, anything else, Una?
No, that should be it for now.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Jim, you have anything to add before we close?
I'm looking at my notes. No, I just really want to emphasize to everybody that we work a lot of hours and very hard. And, you know, if you could email us rather than call us on the phone, that would be best. But if there are things that you just can't get in an email, you need to have some counsel, you can call us. But just be, you know, this week, I didn't get everything done I want to get this done this week, but I fielded a whole lot of phone calls, very important phone calls to them and me. But some of that stuff could have been done by email. So we're going to encourage people to try and do that. Now, when the new system is up, in about 15 or 20 days, I'll have part of the system up. You will be able to go into our website, you know, it's ours now, yours and mine, the Denarians and us, and you'll be able to have a change order. You'll be able we'll have also the applications for all four of our products, actually five of our products, will be there. They just fill it out, all digital now. We'll be using DocuSign, so you'll be able to do a digital signature. And you can do changes with a change order. And there will also be an FAQ that's open to the public. And you can go through the facts, frequently asked questions, and you can find different things. It'll all be by category. But if there's times you need to talk to us, don't hesitate to call us. Just try and keep it as short as possible. So my point on this week is I had a lot of very important things because just past the end of the year, people need to do their minutes. They're asking certain questions. I understand that. But we cut back on our productivity drastically. And we're trying to keep our prices where they are at by Carol and I doing 85 to 90% of the business ourselves. So just bear in mind that, you know, we are working very hard and many hours. I still have a whole weekend worth of work I have to do because I didn't get things done this week, so I'm going to work this weekend. And if Veronica is on the phone, I know you tried to get a hold of me yesterday, but remember I said I had an appointment and you tried to get a hold of me this morning, but it was too late because we had this coming up, and I am working on hers today to get it finished. And Veronica's turned into a really good friend, and we like talking to her. But we spend way too much time sometimes talking. We get off on different subjects. But you know how that goes. Charles and I, we talked about everything. We talked about airplanes a lot, but that was one of my passions, still is my passions. But, you know, that happens. But we just need to have people work with us a little bit more. In 35, 45 days, we'll have a complete system. It'll be much quicker, much easier. And I will have the website redone where it's easier to maneuver through and get your information in a short amount of time.
Good. Thank you, Jim. Okay, looks like we do have one more question here. Area code 972?
Yes. Hello, Carol. Sorry I'm coming in at the last minute, but I've pretty much not done anything with my trust that we have with you. And is there a code number or something that I need to get online to take a look at the website?
Yeah, just send me an email and I'll send you an invitation.
Awesome. What is your email address?
It's info, I-N-F-O.
Okay.
At indicator, I-N-D-I-C-A-T-O-R.
Uh-huh.
Information.com.
Okay. Awesome. Hey, I appreciate everything you're doing and wish you well.
Thank you. Our pleasure. Thank you. Well, guys, in closing, remember that once this RV occurs, the trust that you have will purchase, provide, and own everything that you need. You will own nothing but control everything. You know, while you may want to pay off your existing mortgage, you should still create a mortgage from the trust. The reason you may consider making monthly mortgage payments or loan payments is because these liens will encumber that asset, make it less desirable. you know, little things. You, when ordering, the same thing with your cars, you need to have it in a trust. When ordering checks from your bank, request that they print the following above the signature line, acting strictly in the capacity of trustee. You know, that way it's not you acting, it's you as a trustee. You know, when ordering debit cards, ask for them in your name, not necessarily in the name of the trust. For further protection, you may want to use prepaid cards. And if you're offered a high-limit credit card, take platinum rather than black, which is indicative of the very wealthy and could identify you as a target. Now, we want to keep you safe. We want to keep your money accessible and safe. You know, we all want to make this an easy process. It's going to be a whole new learning curve for all of us. A lot of things to take into consideration. Use our website, that's what it's there for. And you know, we look forward to helping you in the future. Jim, you want to give your contact information before I say goodbye?
Yeah, I want to add one more thing, too. Remember, we do also pay a $300 referral fee if you bring us people. So we hadn't mentioned that earlier. So our trust price is $14.95, but we pay $300 for a referral fee. And my contact information, I am Jim Knox, K-N-O-X. My phone is 503-583-6791. My email is security@IndicatorInformation.com. And I'm in Salem, Oregon, so West Coast time. Keep that in mind. And I do like to keep my mornings to myself to get prepared for the day. So I try not to take calls until 9 o'clock or after in the morning, and I try and get done by 5:30 to 7 in the evening, somewhere around there. So just keep in mind that I am West Coast. Carol?
Okay. Thank you, Jim. And thank you all for your attendance and your attention. We really appreciate you joining us on these calls. Once again, my name is Carol Werlius. My phone number is 425-820-8090. I am in Central Time, and because I have some household things I need to attend to, I appreciate you holding your calls till between 10 in the morning and 6 in the evening. And again, my email address is info@IndicatorInformation.com. Go RV and have a great week, everybody. I'm here, and this is our week, so let's all be ready. Take care. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carol.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jim. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.